Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 181, the box office report for the week ending May 8th, 2016.
Good job.
But
we're a day short.
We're a day early.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
It happens.
It happens.
It's Mother's Day.
It's, yeah, it's tomorrow's Mother's Day, so we're recording. We're a little premature, so the next podcast, the whole time, we'll think about baseball. That's how we'll do that.
What?
I'm not going to do the baseball joke again.
No, that's okay.
I've done it before.
Be Arthur naked on a cold day.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that. So let's go around the table. Everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a special guest this week.
Hello. Hello. This is Matt.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Okay. So where are you from?
Do you mean where do I live?
What is your Craigslist address?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't know if you like had something. Like, we normally let people plug where the, like if they have things they want to plug.
I don't really have anything to plug. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Your artwork?
Yeah, really? I can plug my artwork.
Plug
your
artwork.
Yeah, you can look me up on Etsy. I believe I'm under Den of Apathy Prints.
You are.
Yeah. There we go.
Dan's like, I can confirm that.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So
there
you go. So he's a nerd, not unlike us, in a good way. Like, we can use the N-word.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are them.
Just that one.
I usually say geek. I always think nerd is somebody who's like computer smart.
Sure.
Whereas a geek is someone like pop culture smart.
Yeah, geek is the appropriate term. Tom's a nerd, but
I'm not.
Yeah, but see, I was, you know, in the car, he says, you know, you don't want to be the geek.
I don't want to be a geek. Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't not biting the heads
not
off chicken.
That guy. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never, like, I know people have made that distinction. Like, it's a, you know, it's a
nerd is Star Trek, geek is Star Wars.
Right.
That's the like distinction.
I mean, I'll take nerd because that usually includes that I'm smart.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We can't fight amongst ourselves. We don't need a civil war.
Right. I see what you did there. That's very topical.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget that we are available on the iTunes, so you can go there and rate and review and subscribe. That's also helpful. There have been no new reviews for a while because we haven't threatened to withhold an episode.
We did.
Well, this is my big fat Greek wedding too, then.
I guess that's what we're doing. Yes. They did not believe us.
No, this is Mother's Day, right?
What's that?
Yeah, this is Mother's Day.
Day?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. You guys, it was amazing.
You should start since you saw it.
Okay, so
did you really?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Because I do a radio reviews locally, and so
he's a whore.
I am a whore, and I also do radio reviews locally, and and so I try to see two movies every week, and it's an AM station, so like I kind of have to go see like the old lady movies. And so, yeah, so there's a lot of weeks where I've seen some...
You take a hit.
Yeah. I've seen some pretty crappy movies.
Yeah. So you've had a long career of seeing some crappy movies.
I've seen some crappy... Not just the ones we see, but I've seen the other... I've seen the ones that we felt weren't good enough, and we've done some pretty bad movies.
We have, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So we have no new reviews, so...
So, here we go.
All right.
And away we go. But so back to shameless plugs. So if you go there and rate and review, it does help us. And so we really like it when people do that. Also, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can go there and like us if you have not yet. And you can also, while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. We've had quite a few.
We did.
Especially for like not a huge movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But not a huge movie that also didn't do as well as we thought it was going to do.
Yeah, I mean,
but there's still a lot of love for it.
Yeah, I mean, it underperformed. It wasn't, I don't think it was like way underperformed.
No.
I do think it, you know, but yeah, we had a lot of people share the show this week. So here you go. Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Timmy Tuzoon, Sarah Clark from the Zilch podcast.
Oh, yeah.
because I talked about the monkeys. So she's like,
every time you mention monkeys, it's like, we get that.
She's like, I got to say, well, she has so many monkeys followers that she's, that I think she's like, oh, here's a reason for you to listen. They're talking about
it.
So it's nice of her. Even though she kind of complained.
A little bit.
Did she?
I know. She was being silly. She was teasing because the monkeys released new music. And so that's in her podcast world. That's her.
That's her jam.
That's her Captain
America Civil
right,
War.
Right.
And so, except that Captain America Civil War only comes out once every 20 years.
right.
And so she's like, I'll listen to Real Spoilers because I won't have to hear about any monkeys for a little bit. That'll be nice. And I like,
you
right out of the gate on the podcast. I'm like, there's new monkeys music. And then we ended the show with the song. So,
we did.
Yeah.
That song, it's weird. Did you say that Rivers Cuomo wrote that?
He wrote, they have two new songs out currently. One is called She Makes Me Laugh. That is written by Rivers Cuomo, and the other one is You Bring the Summer, and it's written by Andy Partridge from XTC.
Interesting. So that She Makes Me Laugh, that sounds like a Weezer song.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah.
It, I think it's, it
speaks
like,
to Weezer.
It
like,
does. Yeah.
I think it threads that needle.
It
like,
does.
I could see it. And it debuted.
Maybe
it,
like in the Buddy Holly era.
Yeah. It's still Weezer.
I mean, like really old. Well, but yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't sound like a modern Weezer song, but
it's a Weezer song. Yeah. It sounds like a Weezer song.
And Rivers Cuomo is a. He grew up in the same small town in Connecticut that Peter Tork is from.
Oh, interesting.
And he was like, I was always a big Monkees fan because I came from this nowhere town in Connecticut, and Peter Tork made it big. And he's like, even if you're like, oh, the monkeys suck, he's right. like, if you're from that town, that's a big damn deal. And he's like, no matter what you think of the band, he's like, they made it out.
They
like,
did.
This guy did it.
Yep.
And he's like, so maybe I could do it. And he did. So how about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we do for a lot of people with Real Spoilers.
Have we done that for anybody?
Yeah.
Who have we done that for?
Yeah. Don't look at me.
We did it for you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
I broke out. It's pretty sad when you're our success story.
Yeah. I have gone on to do other podcasts. I'm just saying.
We don't want to tell you, but this is like the Big Brothers, Big Sisters program. Yeah. And so
we haven't even been releasing this.
Yeah, this is all for you, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That's so nice. So do you think Sarah's going to share this now that we've already...
She would almost have to.
If we say the monkeys, then...
Let's all say, hi, Sarah.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
So back to our League of Show Sharers, Chris Sanders, Julian Jordan, Brent Smith, Jason Antris, who continues to share, not correct me on his name, so I
must be right.
I'm assuming I'm saying it
don't
properly.
Don't second guess yourself, Tom.
I can't help it. That's what I do. Tom Kamiski, Chris Sansochi, Lane Levanway, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming.
How is Lane's modeling gig going? Is he still modeling or has he moved on to something else that I haven't heard lately?
I had to block him on my Facebook page because I was intimidated by his abs and flowing long hair.
Really?
Yeah. So
okay.
I assume
fine.
So the modeling is still probably going well for him.
I would assume, but
he's moved from dime store to dollar store.
Oh, is he dollar store book rack?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm on that.
Nice.
And then Ryan Breidenbecker and Linnea Thunsell.
Hey. Whew.
I'm always afraid I'm going to forget. So thank you guys for sharing the show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you would like to join our League of Show Sharers, just next time you're at our Facebook page, find the most recent episode and just click share and tell your friends why you love Real Spoilers. That'll help us out. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I believe that's it for our shameless plugs. We will turn our eyes.
I have one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you cheated on us.
I did.
Dirty slut.
So if you know if you listen to our Amazing Spider-Man 2 episode, you know that we did a show with Allison Summers Kelly.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
It was on Amazing Spider-Man 2?
2.
Wow. Yeah,
a franchise that has now died and already been rebooted.
Correct. Which, given the current climate... Not surprising,
but still, like, it's just,
She asked me to come on her show. It's called the Unreal Radio Podcast.
To do what?
What did you do on our show?
I made a guest appearance on our show.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. I'm the one that had to clarify that one. anyway, I just kind of geeked out about Captain America, about the history of the character from the comic books, what it means to the movie series. Yeah, episode
Red
23.
Brown.
Red Brown, yeah. J.D. Salinger's kid.
Yeah.
So check them out. Unreal Radio Podcast. It's episode 23, I think, is the one that I'm on.
Cool. And I liked it. I did listen to it. I didn't make it all the way through. You know, I had that problem. But I like how you explained the origin of the chicken noise on that.
Well, they asked. Like, they straight up, like,
There's no censoring on that show.
No. So, like, I told the story, and, like, again, they're just like, what?
So if you want to hear the origin of the chicken noise, you can actually...
happened.
Or you could just download our Godzilla episode.
Either one.
That's
where
that one comes from.
Yeah. That's
funny. The origin of the... I feel like that is, like, my issue one. Like, that's the thing right
the origin
there.
Of the...
That's what happens when we go live. It is, man, that was tough. I had to be like, oh no, I'm in the middle of this story and I can't say the one thing.
Oh, that's right. You guys were at Talk STL.
Yeah, we were at Talk STL because I forget why, but yeah.
So it was live and you had to self-censor.
I had to self-censor, yeah. Which is never good.
And that's in a
it turned
some,
out really
some
good.
Weird form of poultry driven Tourette's.
Yeah. It was like I didn't know what to do in the moment. It was like, make that noise. Okay.
It was great. Glad you had it in your arsenal.
Yeah.
Me too. Kind if you listen to the
creepy
the,
that you can, I would even get like a turkey call. You hunt those.
But, oh, I don't hunt turkeys.
Well, you could though. Oh, people do.
Yeah,
is what
true.
I'm saying.
You don't hunt chickens. You're
nobody
just walking into
chicken.
Like a chicken coop.
The only people that hunt chickens are like insane clown posse.
Yeah, that's true. What was their soda? What's the soda they...
Faygo.
Faygo root beer.
Yeah, they just throw Faygo at chickens. That's all they do.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when people base their turkey in Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's true.
See?
Yeah,
they're not so crazy anymore.
I guess it's not.
Yeah. Guess you're a juggalo after all.
I guess. No.
So.
No, I'm not.
So we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and it looks like Captain America Civil War brought in $182 million this weekend.
So what did you guess?
I guessed 175 and was scoffed at.
That's true, yeah. What did you say?
Whatever.
Well,
I
what did
say?
You say?
Oh, I said 161.
I said 161.
I said 150.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, now this is an early estimate. This is before Mother's Day weekend. If it does have a strong Mother's Day... You never know. This movie does transcend.
There's a lot of nerd orphans out there.
That's true.
It could really go gangbusters.
That's true. So, and a lot of older ladies that like to see Captain America in action. So, but
it's barely a Captain America movie. I mean, like he's. I mean, it's not like he's not in it. I mean, he's in it a lot.
He's more of the focus than I thought he was.
But there's so many. Yeah. I mean, we'll get in the next. But there's so many other characters that it's like you. I mean, it's not. Really a Captain
but
America
it is
movie.
At the same time, which is we'll get into. But anyway, no, Captain America Civil War did very well. 182.5 million is the estimate for now. I could see it getting up closer to 200 if it has a really strong Sunday, but we'll have to see in a couple days. Now the budget on this one, it says 250 million, so they did not go cheap on this.
It's all
and
on the screen.
It is. It's already made 300 million overseas with an opening weekend here close to 200. So it's almost at half a billion on its $250 million budget.
Yeah.
Weekend in the U.S. So.
It's funny because, you know, when the first Captain America came out, there was the concern that it was just so much jingoism and being a predominantly an American appealing superhero.
Right.
And I guess that's...
Isn't that why they added they called it the First Avenger?
Yes.
Because overseas, they didn't call it Captain America.
Right.
They just called the movie the First Avenger.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense. But, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, you know, it worked out all right. And as we've seen on our Facebook page, we shared a couple of videos we've shared a lot of Captain America stuff. This is the big movie. But we've had videos shared all around the world.
Yep.
And, not at all just in the U.S. The U.S. might be the minority compared to what we've seen.
Right.
So
one of them has said die Yankee.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's always a plus.
So huge
we've
huge
got
reach.
Into it a couple times. I think Marvel's just kind of like, hey, Warners, this is how you do it.
Well, they don't even have to. They're not trying to do that, but they're just doing their Marvel thing.
What I said is like, everybody, DC, there, somebody said on our Facebook page that DC just needs to start making movies. And I'm like, what DC needs to do is not worry about anybody else.
Yeah. Stop playing catch up.
Stop playing catch up.
Plan your universe.
Do your thing one at a time. Like, they've had
what, 12 movies to get this right?
I think this is their 13.
This is number 13.
Yeah.
If you think about it, this is the 12th sequel.
You don't need to get everything into the second movie. Like, right. There's a reason these work is because they've had 13.
Because they took their time.
Right.
And
right.
they need to have patience. And there's and I get there's a lot of money at stake and they don't. But it's like they're making this amount of money now because there was a time when they were just putting out one.
Right.
And it was a solid hit.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, and they built on that. But, like, yeah, you can't. You can't. If this movie came out first,
if Iron Man was Avengers, it would have been a mess.
Well, no, if they had done Iron Man and then immediately done the Avengers,
right?
But well, if like Iron Man was Avengers,
but they built
it would have
small.
Been a,
they also built conceptually small. Yeah. They built with. I mean, they took Iron Man because that's the character they had,
right?
Yeah.
Because they had farmed out so much and screwed up so much in Hollywood, and then they said, "Okay, we'll do Iron Man," and so we'll take you know what's kind of considered by a lot of people. C or B.
He was at that point, yeah.
Yeah. C or B. And then, you know, we'll just invest in that.
My wall of comics out there. I have like 70 long boxes.
Sure.
I don't know that I got more than five Iron Man.
I was big in Iron Man.
Pre-2008, though, I don't think anyone knew Iron Man or Tony Stark. I would say C is gracious.
I would give him like a C plus.
Yeah,
well,
C plus.
I was obviously older,
but you know,
so.
But you but I mean you read Doctor Strange
whole, yeah
and
but
and
I had
Iron
the whole
Man.
Demon
I mean,
in the Bottle like collection
yeah
and
I have the Demon in the Bottle and I had the series but, that they started right after the movie
but Marvel was smart because they're like this is a character that like you know honestly he just has a suit so we don't have to get kind of crazy on a lot of like education or you know worrying you know like they could bring in a lot of people who necessarily weren't like deep into the comics because it's like it's just a guy in a suit.
And they were smart because you can, you know, everyone else, you have to have these prosthetics and all this makeup.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., you film him and make it look like he has a bunch of tech around his head. Yeah. I mean, if you see it, it's funny. He was on Jimmy Fallon doing press for Civil War, and he asked him, he's like, what is it like to walk around in that suit? Like, you feel cool or whatever. And he didn't really address it, but what I thought he was going to say is, Jimmy, I'm never in this suit.
What suit?
If you look at the set photos, it's a black thing with all the bulbs on it. Yeah. I mean, they put the suit on him. Like, that's how good the CG is.
Now, they're doing
is.
That now, though. They weren't
He was wearing a suit
then.
Well, he was wearing the top 07. Half.
Yeah.
But that was it.
But he doesn't walk around in a suit.
He was like an Iron Man news anchor.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
But that's
he was like an Iron Man mullet.
Yeah.
He was but, business in the front, party in the back.
That's right.
But they built small. They were like, okay, so we'll do that. And they, like, kind of slowly expanded
the
universe.
In the words of Silicon Valley, they went middle out.
Middle out.
Right. So that's how that works.
Well, they kind of doubled down that year, though, right? Didn't Incredible Hulk come out that, 2 months after?
Yeah, and they tacked on the whole Iron Man, you know, Tony Stark at the,
right,
end,
at
of,
the end
of that.
Yeah,
because it had been so
with
huge.
William
well,
Hurt.
And I also think there is, I don't think Marvel can make a solo Hulk film unless they have another Avenger in it. And I think that okay. Tony Stark scene is how they got to do like a solo Hulk.
Yeah. Really? You think that's how they have the rights?
There's an article that says that there are contractual issues that's keeping them from doing another Hulk movie. Yeah.
I think Universal has it. Is that
correct?
Universal?
Yeah.
Oh, because they put out that first one?
That's correct.
They put out the first
one.
They're also like the distributors on the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, they get
so
that.
I think that there's some sort, which is why if he's in Thor Ragnarok, that's why he's in Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
Because they can't get him by himself.
Right. Yeah.
So why couldn't they just like do that again? Do a Hulk movie and put one little.
I think they're trying to figure it out. If I'm a betting man, I would say the lawyers are like, so we want to do.
Well, now they
want to.
Now they want to do it right, is the problem. Like, to have a Hulk movie and have it be really good. I mean, look at the first two. And I'm not saying the Ed Norton one was terrible,
I like the Ed Norton one.
I like the Ed Norton
one.
But I will say it's not at the level of these other MCU
movies.
I feel like it's in that infant stage, like the MCU. So, and that was a really good entry.
Yeah.
I
think they're trying to figure out how to make a Civil War level or, you know, a Winter Soldier level Hulk movie.
Planet Hulk, it works. Like, that is probably the most cinematic Hulk story of him. It's him as Conan.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of CG.
It's a lot of CG.
But those Conan movies have been very popular.
I mean, the old ones?
I mean, any of them.
I think those old ones are pretty popular, right?
First one did okay.
The second one.
James Earl Jones.
Weren't there two reboots recently that flopped?
No, there was one.
So.
There was one. Jason Momoa played him.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that. Hercules.
Well, there was a second, and it was Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, so was that the one with Red Sonja?
Yeah.
No, Red Sonja had her own
movie. It had Bridget
Nielsen?
No, it had Grace Jones.
Grace Jones.
Was he Conan in Red Sonja?
No, they changed his name to something else.
Yeah,
some generic barbarian name.
Yeah,
Barbarian Smith.
Barbarian.
Brock.
Yeah, yeah.
Brock. How he checked in a hotel.
Brock the Barbarian.
He's Gru. Yeah. That's who he is.
So anyway, Civil War doing very well for itself. $500 million worldwide as of the opening weekend in the States here. So.
Deserves every dollar.
And unlike Batman versus Superman, it won't drop 58% next week.
Yeah, I think this one's going to hang on a little longer.
Yeah, I think it's safe.
Yeah, we'll get to Batman v Superman.
Although next week you got X-Men Apocalypse. No, that's two.
No, that's the end of the month.
Yeah,
that's
the end of the month.
Memorial Day.
Oh, okay.
They're going for a three-day weekend.
They're screening it Monday, so I just assumed it was opening up.
No, it's really early. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Reviewing press only.
Great. That means by the time we get to the podcast, I'll be like, was Wolverine in this one?
Oh, I know.
Yes, he is, because they spoiled that.
Just one snick.
That
was kind of like, we were sitting in the theater, and I was like, oh.
Well, why?
I wish I didn't know that.
Just to, like, why spoil that?
I think they're worried about the hype around this one.
Yeah,
about Winter Soldier.
It is Winter Soldier and not Apocalypse.
If you're in the marketing department, you don't care about spoiling the film. You care about getting butts in the seats.
Who's talking right now with it only a couple weeks away? Who look at your feed in Civil War and where's X-Men? Like, it's just buried, and they need every bit.
I don't know why they would try to release it
on this one too.
Yeah,
I don't know, and I liked everything from First Class, and I liked Days of Future Past.
I dug that
mostly.
A lot.
I agree. There was something missing, and I can't put my finger on it.
You watch the trailers,
I don't know what it is,
and you don't get excited. Like, Days of Future Past looked awesome, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
This one, you see the trailers, and you're like, I'll see it. It's an X-Men movie. I'm going to go in with... it just doesn't...
I think part of it, for me, is the whole, you know, screwing with Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Thing. Because it's
I'm with you.
Because that book was so, I mean...
That should have been Ellen Page's movie.
That's an epic story. And they just really changed... And I get why they did it. And there's two reasons. I mean, one, they're
Wolverine
like, well, they can validate it. Yeah, it's like, Ellen Page...
Hugh Jackman.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought it worked well.
It worked well.
With the change, I was not that unhappy
I felt like First Class, you know, really did a good job of, like... rebooting
and distancing in the right way. Like, you didn't have any of those. It was a whole new cast of characters.
Now we're getting into, we're going to see Jean Grey and Scott.
I got to tell you, I'm
Storm
kind of excited about the Jean Grey.
And Nightcrawler. And, you know, it's kind of like, well...
Well, they also, I guess the advantage that they have is since they've screwed with their timeline, you don't see Nightcrawler until X-Men 2.
Right.
So now they can bring them all in earlier.
I think there's something to
that,
though.
They shuffled the deck.
They did.
But you know what? I think there's something what you said. We've already seen some of these characters, and we've liked them.
Yes.
Nightcrawler was awesome. Famke Jensen, awesome.
Time out.
Alan Cummings was great.
Famke Jensen was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, but I liked her as Jean Grey.
I liked her as Jean Grey.
And so, like... I mean, I like Game of Thrones, but I actually hate her character on Game of Thrones.
But
so.
Well, that's not her fault, though.
But I'm just saying it's Ramsay Bolton's fault.
Ramsay Bolton's fault.
Since season one, when she went over to the wrong side, I've had a chip on my shoulder.
She's kind of regretted that ever since.
I know, but ever since that move where she basically got her... Yeah. I feel like she got her dad killed, who was awesome. But anyway.
Spoilers, Kevin!
Yeah. But no, so I think it's like we've seen these characters and we like them, so now we're like, are we going to like the new ones? And that's kind of like playing with our emotions.
I know, that's where I'm at. I'm like, maybe.
I think I would like it.
So, yeah.
Although Olivia Munn, I mean...
Yeah.
Talk about coming off the page.
Yeah. And too much Mystique. Why is Mystique a good guy in all these? That's just because of the actress.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, because she's popular now.
I think that's bothering me.
That's one of the things that bothered me in the last movie. I was like, whoa.
She's the Hulk Hogan of the X-Men.
Yes, she is.
How about that?
I know.
That was a wrestling reference for me.
Yeah,
it's done now, Joe. No more.
Okay, sorry, Joe.
Wait, no, he made the reference. I can still make one.
No, it's only
one reference per show. Doesn't matter.
But you know what?
I've already done monkeys.
Yeah.
Like,
no, wait, you took both of them.
I know.
Oh, what a dickhole. But what was the first movie?
First Class.
Yeah. She went over with Magneto, right?
Right.
And then in this last movie, she kind of became a good guy. And now you're like, she's a good
now
guy.
Now she looks like she's running.
Right.
You know.
Now she's teaching the kids.
She's an adjunct professor. What the hell is
she like? She's like, you graduated. You're no longer a student. You're X-Men. It's like, Mystique, who are you? Why are you doing this?
I think it's just the... X-Men, in First Class, she hadn't done any... Winter's Bone?
I think is all she had done at that point.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
then right. obviously the Hunger Games.
Huge.
And they were like, oh, crap.
Yeah. I get why they're doing it, but I don't like the Mystique now as all of a sudden this huge yeah. X-Men.
Yeah. Also, in all the ads I see for the new movie, how often do you see her in the makeup?
Hardly
at all.
No, it's yeah. you see yeah. her Jennifer
like,
Lawrence.
Yeah. Again, marketing department.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a A-list actress like that yes. in your movie by mm-hmm. accident. You're not putting her in makeup and that's on the
that's
screen.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wearing that helmet.
And,
yeah.
and they finally started showing Oscar Isaac before he's Apocalypse.
Right.
And the new clips yes. for it that I just saw, and I never saw this before in the trailers, but now in the newest clips, you see Oscar Isaac, where do we know him from? Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Laying on a bed, and you see him like become Apocalypse. So they're like, hey, you know this guy that's in this. You probably,
oh, I
you
see
know.
What you're saying.
Yeah, they okay. show Oscar Isaac
Dameron.
As. Yeah, so they're really pulling out all their star
yeah.
power.
Yeah. Well, they happens. Need to.
They
yes,
do.
They
do. So we'll see how that ends up. Number two, The Jungle Book. So that one's still doing really well. Only a 58% drop with $18.3 million in its fourth week in release. $281 domestic.
$281? That's a sad day.
It's
not Batman versus
well, I mean,
Superman.
I didn't make that today, so I thought that was pretty good. But no, it's at $281 million domestic, and then try another $469 million foreign. It's up to over $750 million in 4 weeks worldwide. I mean, that is...
Right now, they're going through... Disney's like, just go with, flip it through the back catalog, like at the vinyl store.
Really
okay,
are.
Whoa. Yeah. What else we got? Yeah.
Can we do a Robin Hood movie? Yeah,
but you know, but as foxes, you mean?
Yeah, as like, foxes. Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, I tell you what, I mean, I enjoyed that old cartoon, and like, I was anxious to see how it would do, but I never in my wildest dreams would have thought it would have been as good or
yeah,
done
no.
as well.
No.
4 weeks, $750 million.
But that's why all of a sudden, like right on the tail of that, they said, "Okay,
we're greenlighting
Cruella, yeah. Tinkerbell, a second Maleficent, yeah. Dumbo." Beauty and the
well,
Beast.
Well, Dumbo's been in the works for a while.
Air,
works,
Little, yeah. Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
No, I don't think the Little Mermaid one's
well, that,
Disney.
That felt... Well, it was... Wasn't it?
That
the Sofia Coppola?
That might not have
been. The Sofia Coppola one, the one that she dropped out of wasn't Disney.
Oh. Yeah.
Ah.
Well, probably
they're so confident in their back catalog right now, they just greenlit Song of the South.
Yes. He beat me to it, but yeah. I was thinking, like, they're like, we're going to make money, so well, whatever.
I think Beauty and the Beast is next, is that
yeah,
right?
That is next. Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, that's another weird one.
They've
that you've seen
nothing.
Like, yeah. you haven't seen the beauty.
That
scene.
Is amazing that not one set photo. I mean, even on other, like,
no,
Disney...
there was a set photo.
Was there?
There was. There's not a joke coming. There was a set photo with the Olaf guy.
Yeah,
Josh Gad.
And,
like,
and
you could see, like, the castle in the background.
Okay.
But there has been.
But I mean,
you
I meant, like,
but you didn't get
I'm
to
sorry,
see, like,
oh,
yeah, you didn't get to see,
yeah,
like,
nothing
the
out
beast
of it.
Or anything.
Yeah.
I hope they brought on Rick Baker. Just do, like, crazy werewolf makeup.
You know, I mean, if you ever saw the musical version, the touring musical version,
yeah.
the makeup on the guy in that was pretty stellar.
Really?
Yeah,
that
transformation
gets me every time.
Yeah, it was
that
pretty true to the like, to the you know the art yeah. style. But I remember thinking, wow, they really translated that well.
Does he look like Ron Perlman?
No.
Dang.
No,
but no, they do a good
yeah,
job.
Yeah, I watched that show. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
there you go.
I didn't catch that one.
There was a CBS television show called Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
that
he lived, in the, he
the
lived in the sewers, right?
It predated the cartoon, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
And Ron Perlman
was
from
the late
80s. Perlman was the Beast.
Yeah,
and
it was
and,
on.
And Linda Hamilton was Beauty.
Yeah, she was like a district attorney or something.
No
yeah.
kidding.
And
yeah.
then she
yeah.
falls into the sewers, and there's this whole world of creatures under yeah. the sewers, and he's kind of like leads.
It's kind
the creature.
Of like the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah,
yeah.
A little
bit.
And then like the, then they solve crimes. Or
so
something.
Before Hellboy, Ron Perlman has been stuck doing this for.
Oh yeah,
they only ran like a
Quest for Peace or Quest for Fire. Yeah,
I was like Quest for Peace.
He played a caveman in Quest for Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
No makeup.
I mean, yeah. I don't want to say poor guy. He's a good actor, and he's got a lot of roles, but I'm just like, man.
He's got a suborbital ridge.
He makes use of the... Who's the guy from The Hills Have Eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, the bald guy?
Yeah. That guy. He's like that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you're the guy to go to for that.
Was he the same guy from The Goonies?
No.
He was in Weird Science.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Weird Science. He's like the main mutant from The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
He's one of Wes Craven's like buddies,
right?
Well, yeah. was one of Wes Craven's buddies, but yeah, he was. If you look at him, you're like, man, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, you got one.
He made a career out of it.
You got one trick in that bag,
and
yeah.
you did it.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yep. So Jon Favreau, pretty happy. I guess he can pretty much do anything he wants now. Oh, and
I heard he's making a movie just for Disney. It's just about Dole Whips.
Yeah,
yeah.
He can do that.
Well, you know, after Chef,
after Chef,
actually. That's all. That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. Really,
so he's at the Tiki Hut just serving Dole Whips.
Yes, sir. It's just 90 minutes of him making Dole Whips.
It's going to be Dole Whip versus Orange Bird.
That's a sequel. Ooh. Get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, they have to drag this out. Those are two multi-billion dollar movies.
Yeah, so they can start building the franchise now.
Right.
It's a shared universe.
That's right. Everything's shared universe.
So speaking of Jon Favreau, and he is producing the new Avengers movies, did you hear that they are retitling Infinity War?
Yeah.
Part one of it's not going to be Infinity War. Part one.
We'll get into
part
what I think it's going to be because I think they kind of allude to what it's going to be in
which
Civil
is
War.
Interesting. And supposedly the Russo brothers say they're going to be two separate movies instead of doing the. I think they realize people are going to get mad just splitting a movie in half, so they're actually going to be two different movies, which I'm happy with. I don't want my movie split in half.
They don't
want
to get divergented.
You know?
They're not going to.
So
don't
I'm
glad. I felt pretty confident.
So I think that's pretty cool.
They probably sat in the theater at the end of Desolation of Smog and were like.
Crap.
What?
Oh, man.
Are you
Don't
serious?
Even give me,
Where's the rest? Keep going.
We can't do that to people.
No. I think they know they've built this fan base. Marvel, Feige, they're doing it right. And I think they kind of, now that they have all control in the checkbook, I think they're like, we're not going to split this part to make $2 billion halves. We're going to do
We're going to do it the right way.
And apparently also the rumor is that Affleck is none too happy with the reception of Batman v Superman.
If that's true.
So he's putting his money where his mouth is.
I don't think Waters is too happy either.
He just got producer's credit on Justice League. He did.
So he's executive producing.
George Miller also is becoming an executive producer on Justice
League. So I'm wondering if they are going to inch Snyder out. I didn't think it would ever happen, but I really think that it's...
I understand that
they have to.
The bean counters and all that. Like,
you can sit there and say that that movie made a ton of money, and it did.
Yep. Yeah.
But people, that there is no faith
with
in
the
that franchise.
Yeah, it's going to die.
When you see the way it drops, it's been dropping like a rock.
It made a bunch of money. If that had been... like
good.
$2 billion.
It's number one. It's number one until this
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're like, right.
Because it had a clear path. Like Jungle Book should have never even got out of the gate.
Nope.
Jungle Book should have been
a number two movie.
Should have been a number two movie that made like $150 million total.
Yes. Correct.
And instead, people were like, that movie blows.
Let's see
what this is. Yeah. And then on top of it was wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't mean to take away from Jungle Book.
No.
But it should have been
the fact that it got
it should have been relegated to that was a really good kids movie. And instead they knew.
And Waters wasn't really planning on filling up Disney's coffers anymore.
What's the thing is, like,
it just went in another side of the bank.
Yeah. Not only did that movie suck, like, as soon as Marvel and Disney knew it was going to suck, they started putting that tag in front of Jungle Book, where it's like, from the studio that brought you Iron Man, or from the Avengers, and then from the director of Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that Simpsons episode where Ralph is just kind of like, stop, he's already dead. hammering it home. But like, there was, you know.
And the thing is, like, Warner Brothers has a lot at stake here. They are trying to build, and I mean trying, but they are trying to build a cinematic universe Marvel. And if any of the other movies end up like this one, they're going to be dead in the water.
We're not going to see those movies.
No.
I really don't.
We're going to see
Wonder Woman. We're going to get Wonder Woman, and we'll get Justice League.
Yeah.
But I don't think
Justice League has to be...
No, a cyborg's a given,
awesome.
Right?
But
everybody's waiting on Cyborg.
But they know it's do
Cyborg
or die.
Cyborg will be great in the fall of 2019 on the CW.
Can't wait to see him on Arrow.
So Affleck executive producing, George Miller, I think they're going to kind of inch Snyder out. And
the thing that
Cyborg
Marvel
will be great streaming on Crackle.
Right after Joe Dirt 2.
The thing that Marvel, we've said for years that they did the right way, is they went out and they got directors for the cheap. You know, Favreau, when they did in 2007.
I'm gonna blow your mind. I made a wrestling reference. I'm gonna make a sports reference.
Oh,
so everybody calm down.
Whoa.
They moneyballed it.
They did.
They did.
They absolutely did.
Well, think about, they got Robert Downey Jr. at the time. What was he really doing?
Right.
He did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which was kind of like...
Yeah.
Which is how you ended up bringing Shane Black into the fold for Iron Man 3.
Who went to bat for Downey? How'd they get him?
Favreau.
It was Favreau went to bat.
Yeah, they wanted somebody else, and they were...
Yeah.
It was almost Sam Rockwell.
That's right.
Well, oh, really?
Yeah. And that's why he's in.
That's why he's in the second one. Yeah. Yeah. But it was almost Sam Rockwell,
which I would have been okay with.
I think that could have been really good. I don't think it would be quirkier. It wouldn't have been as big, but it still would have been very big.
Well, yeah. They had thrown around Tom Cruise's name.
He was in the very beginning, and then I just think they realized he had too much baggage, and he's going to want too much control. Well, and that's also what they wanted. Is they want they
would have been very slick.
This is like okay, so. You know, ever since the 70s, cinema has been like the medium of the auteur, right? And so it's about the director. And that's not what you got going on anymore. It's about the producer and the house that's making the film. And so they're going out, and like I said, they're Moneyballing. They're finding these directors that were really good and have made a few good movies, maybe even a few good genre movies, that they can take those genres and apply them to that particular film.
Except for these guys.
But these guys had no track record.
Obviously, and I've said this before.
Weird. I think
they watched Community and said, "Boy, these guys really know how to handle action on the basest level."
Because they did the paintball episode.
And they said these guys could do with like not any budget some amazing action.
Well, I think also it didn't hurt that I think for Winter Soldier they wanted Soderbergh,
and Soderbergh gave them those guys. That's what got them. They're buddies.
And Soderbergh was like, "I don't want to do it. That's too big for me."
And he's like, "These guys."
Well, Soderbergh's not like known for being a big action guy.
Yeah, but I think Winter Soldier was going to be like, you know, a big studio tentpole. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They were trying to make a movie that's not, you know, a director that's not an
espionage thriller. Which is part of the reason they got Redford in there.
Yes. You know? Those guys have to pray to Soderbergh every night. You know what I mean? Like,
thank you.
And they're good, but you got to get the chance. And like, the fact that he went to bat for them, and still the fact that the studio took a risk on that, it blows my mind. You, Me, and Dupree was their only
film. I said Marley. On that other show, I said Marley and Me, but you're right.
Oh, yeah, You, Me, and Dupree was their only movie, and they went to bat. I mean, again, Arrested Development, Community, great comedy stuff, but like...
Hey, but you know what? Look with the first... Well, both Avengers movies. It's not like Joss Whedon had a big film career. I mean, he's more known for television.
True. But those TV shows did have
Joss
a lot
Whedon
of action.
Joss Whedon also has the nerd cred. He's got that nerd following.
Yeah. And he knows how to handle large cast characters.
Yeah, these guys
I think they know that, like, these directors aren't doing the action scenes anymore.
Yeah.
And so they're like, as long as we'll have the action people do the action stuff, and you make all that in-between stuff not suck, and then we'll be okay.
I don't know why Warner won't do that.
Well, I think Zack Snyder has a great career over at Marvel directing their action.
Don't bring that guy over. Don't let him get the cancer. Don't bring him in there. He's awful.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's
not him.
That didn't help.
That's Larry Fong or whatever his name is.
He has to direct the action.
It didn't help though because we didn't walk out of there going, "Yeah, but those visuals."
Yeah,
I mean, the Marvel thing.
Everything was at night.
The visuals.
Yeah, they didn't show. There was nothing during the daytime in that movie. Yeah. If I remember right, there's almost no. There's nothing.
Well, they said, "Okay, you know what? His suit's brighter. It's bluer."
Okay.
We couldn't tell.
We were all.
We didn't turn on the lights, but hey,
we were all bluer after that film.
Yes, we were. Yeah.
I think I just blew myself.
Bluer, blew him too.
And coming in at number three,
we're just tearing through these.
Coming at number three, I think this actually makes sense. I wasn't sure if it was actually going to take a big increase, but Mother's Day actually made some money. Mother's Day weekend, go figure. $7.5 million, a 10% increase in week two, so it's up to $19.2 million. I guess $4 million of that goes to Julia Roberts. So.
Yeah.
So here's a little scene of how a Mother's Day screening goes.
Okay.
If you're going to see Mother's Day this weekend, hey mom, you want to go see Mother's Day? Yeah. Okay. Cool. We'll go see Mother's Day. Oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you for taking me. No problem. Hey mom, do you want some popcorn? Sure. Okay, I'm going to go get some popcorn and soda. Mom, it's your day. Let's go. Okay. And then I'm just going to be right back. Yeah. And then 2.5 hours later, after seeing Captain America, oh, mom, that popcorn line, I've never seen anything like it.
They were out of butter flavoring.
Yeah, and I was like, I know you really like the garlic parmesan sprinkles that you put on top, and all they had was the kettle corn sprinkles, and I'm not for my mom on Mother's Day.
We had to wait.
And I waited for like an hour, and then they said they couldn't get it, and so then I drove down
on the schnooks.
See, you're thinking, I mean, I thought they were just going to be up front and be like, I'll take you to go see Mother's Day and then drop her off at that theater and go see Captain America.
Here it is.
I wasn't thinking it would be any kind of elaborate scheme, but I guess that's what I was planning on doing tomorrow.
I love my mother a little bit more than you love yours.
So it is at around $20 million on an undisclosed budget, but I guess maybe just Julia Roberts and some catering is all they put into it.
Jennifer Aniston had to get something.
Yeah.
She's not cheap.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess we'll see how that one ends up doing. But I have a feeling that Captain America might still steal some of the Mother's Day. It is counter-programming, but I still think that Captain America, especially with the word of mouth.
I think Marvel movies transcend.
Going to transcend.
Yeah,
I do.
I think they do.
Yeah, so we'll see if it ends up being any more successful.
And the fact that Mother's Day looks terrible.
Well, there's that. And,
Well, it's coming off the heels of what were the ones before it? Valentine's Day.
New Year's Eve.
They all look awful.
Arbor Day.
The other ones.
Columbus
not
Day.
Not Love Actually.
Casimir Pulaski Day.
Yeah.
Earth Day.
Boxing Day.
That was just in Canada.
There's just like Canadian movies.
Yeah, they didn't release that down here. Tyler Perry's Martin Luther King's Day.
I saw a preview for a Madea movie.
It's the Madea zombie movie.
Yes,
we were sitting there what?
Really?
Yes. It was a Madea Halloween movie with zombies, and I was like, well... So here we are.
I'm like, are we seeing Grindhouse right now? Like, is this real?
The next one, it's got to be in space.
It has to be.
That would be a Saturday Night Live skit where they show all the Madea movies that Mike had made, and then they're actually making them.
We sat there and we all looked at each other like, oh,
is this the pre the pre popcorn, you know, like entertainment,
right, like
you know,
the,
like
the real talk. Yeah.
She's
going
to answer her phone in the middle of killing zombies and tell you to turn your phone off. No, it's a movie.
Nope, that's fantastic.
Nope, it's a movie.
I watched Zombies the other day just because it was on like something free. I was like, yeah, okay.
You went to Zumba class?
No, I didn't go to Zumba class. It's a zombie movie inside of a zoo, and the animals are zombies. It was. Like, you're just sitting there being like, yeah, that's all right.
Is this like Sharknado?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And like, I was organizing comic books, so I like to have something on in the background. Mm-hmm. And every time I look up, and I was just kind of like, yeah, that's still on. All right. I'm just going to keep putting these away. They all made that movie. I feel like if that movie can get made, anybody can make a movie.
Amen.
You know, like, well, actually, speaking of comic books, did you ever read Hitman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a great issue that was like all the animals in an aquarium were zombies. Where they had to fight their way
that
out
sounds
of
like
the
a Darth Ennis book.
They had to fight their way out of the Gotham City Aquarium.
That's fantastic.
It was like zombie seals and stuff attacking.
My favorite thing in that whole thing is Hitman kind of has X-ray vision, and he shows up for a Justice League tryout, and he walks in and he looks at Wonder Woman, and he was like, "Okay, what can you do?" He's like, "Nothing. I'm good," and walked out. I just looked at Wonder Woman, and I'm good to go, and just left. That was a great book.
There's a great Hitman scene in a short-lived comic called Resurrection Man. And the Resurrection Man's talent was whenever he got killed, he would come back to life but with a different superpower,
right?
And like, so there's a Hitman crossover, and they're trapped behind a bar, and they're getting shot at, and he's like, what's your superpower? And he's like, I have control over plant life. And he's like, not good enough. And he shoots him in the head. He comes back to life, and he's like, what's your power now? And he's like, I can float 9 inches off the ground. Not good enough. This goes on for like a page of three panels across.
So
three,
good.
Like, just for like,
that is good.
By the way, if Warner Brothers wanted to write the ship, they could do a Hitman movie. Could be like Deadpool. That could be their Deadpool.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think it was Garth Ennis and John McCrae did that. And Garth Ennis.
And you hire Shane Black to write it.
Done.
Yes.
And you win.
You know, I'll tell you what. I think that those video game movies have ruined. You come out with something called Hitman, though.
Yeah. Oh.
That's
oh.
True. That's,
oh. Yeah. They've just ruined. There's been three terrible movies.
Has there
movies.
Been three? I thought it was just two.
No, because they came out with a new one.
Yeah,
reboot.
There's a reboot.
And
yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's got Timothy Olyphantastic. Isn't that first?
No,
first.
The first one. Yeah. Wait, then what was the third? There was a Timothy Oliphant, then the one that came out last year. What was the third?
No, there was one after Timothy Oliphant. There's one that just came out.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a guy from Homeland.
Did it go straight to video?
No,
I don't think it was very short-lived.
It's the bad guy in Deadpool, right?
Oh, really?
Isn't that the third one?
Was it?
I think that's
why I didn't know who that was.
I didn't know who that guy
he's
was.
He's either in that or he's in the Transporter.
He's one of those.
He might be the new transporter that came out of nowhere. They're okay. Like, who is taking
but,
over?
But that was also wasn't the new transporter from the TV series of Transporter.
Right. That's what we were trying to figure out, because we're like, wait a minute, this is a TV show. Then we're like, wait a minute, they came out with another movie? Like, yeah, is this tying into the TV show?
Jason Statham.
What is happening here?
They don't know.
Yeah, no one knows.
It's
at this point,
that's so. Like they're trying to save the rights to the transporter.
Yeah.
It's so precious.
Yeah. Coming in at number four, a movie I've never heard of, Sing Street.
Yeah, it's like an 80s, like an 80s alternative, like music in England. Like,
I think it's from the guy that did Once.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I've seen nothing about it.
It almost looks like The Commitments, but for alternative rock in the 80s.
So it just opened wide, I guess. It had a 1,044% increase this weekend, 3.7 million.
Huntsman.
Yeah, well, not hard to do. That movie is in deep trouble. Apparently, well, we'll get into what it made this weekend, but apparently they're going to lose $70 million.
Good.
Which is a large which is uncharacteristic for Universal.
Right.
This is the billion-dollar franchise machine.
They were on the uptick for a long time.
They have not lost money. I mean, you're talking about Fast and Furious, Minions, even what? Weren't they
Jurassic World? Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey, too, or was that someone else?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But Universal is just unstoppable when it comes, you know, so they usually lose money.
Ask Dan's wife. She'll know.
Yeah. Still, man, like, I love that episode. I wish I kind of go back every once in a while just to listen to that, because not only I wasn't here
because of Dan's wife.
Yeah, because yeah. I could hear Dan blushing. I could hear it in his voice. It's fantastic.
It's a cultural thing.
So,
and 50 Shades of Grey was Universal,
and they've
and
also got Independence Day, right? Independence Day is this summer from them, isn't it?
Is that going to be Universal?
I think so.
Anyway,
oh my God, does that look horrible?
I don't know.
I'm not interested in that.
It's weird, but I appreciated their honesty that the subtitle of the film is Cash Grab.
Yeah. I mean, at least they put it on Front Street.
Right.
Well, I'm just more excited. I think as exciting as that is, I'm more excited about the sequel to the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie. So, I mean, because, man, that could only be the next thing.
Yes.
Size still matters.
Still. You just want to get that giant Dorito out. That's what you want.
No, you want that Taco Bell tie in.
Were you on that too? Did you guys work on that?
No, we didn't. I was in Dallas at the time.
Okay, gotcha. So coming in at number five, The Huntsman, Winter's War, 3.3 million, a 66% drop in week three. The movie has made $40 million domestically.
I was just thinking, like, you know, there's a script somewhere where Thor's in Civil War. And he's like, look, man, I can't do it. Like, I'm already obligated to do The Huntsman. And then The Huntsman comes out and Civil War comes out. And he's like, shit.
Well, I think he already knew that he wasn't going to win that battle.
Okay, outside of the Marvel movies and maybe the first Huntsman, has he been in a movie that made any money?
Cabin in the Woods, I think, did fairly well.
That didn't make money. He had two movies
that sat on the shelves for a long time.
That was Cabin in the Woods and the remake of Red Dawn.
But like the race car movie.
That did not do gangbusters, but it did make money.
And what was the whaling movie he did last year?
That did not do well. I'm telling you, man, he's the Highlander.
The car racing movie was good.
It wasn't great, but it was good.
What about the whale one?
No, it was bad. Yeah. It was boring.
I haven't seen it. It looked so bad.
It was just boring.
And it's like, that's Ron Howard.
It was one of those things where it's like, the story that inspired the story. It's
which had almost no basis in fact. So it was like, what are we doing? Is it really a story? And if you're going to bore me with Moby Dick, at least actually just show me the real Moby Dick story, and then I'll at least feel like I learned something.
I'm not going to read it.
No.
He kills the
bird. I hate Melville. I can't make it through his short stories.
Wow, really?
Oh, I can't.
Oh, man, I'm a big fan.
Bartleby, the shoot me in the goddamn face.
Did you ever see the film version of Bartleby?
Oh, yeah, it was weird.
With Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Dogma?
Yeah. I would prefer
Dogma?
I would prefer not to.
Yeah, but I guess that's a good point. Maybe he hasn't done anything besides...
I don't think he's think he's ever like starred in a movie that's done money.
I honestly didn't know the first Huntsman did that
good of money to warrant a sequel.
They signed it almost instantly. But
did they?
The thing is, it's like, it's what are they calling it? I mean, it seriously is like the sequel that no one asked for.
It's the sequel
movie that no one wanted.
That nobody wanted to see.
Yeah, it's just like, what is
they
this?
They told their story in that first movie.
They're
there
trying
was no
to,
reason.
This movie is like Frozen slash Snow White, like cash grab. They're
it's
just
not,
trying
it's
to.
Not sli- it's not like it is Frozen.
But I mean, they're trying to just cash in on that and not do it well at all. So it's apparently $70 million in the hole. But again, I mean, Universal, I think, has money in the bank, so they're not going to close over this one. But I don't think we'll see a Huntsman 3.
Good.
My prediction. Number five, the movie from last week, Keanu, made another $2.9 million, a 69% drop in week two.
It's to number a very six. Number to a, six.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, number six, Keanu. It didn't open very well, and it already has a 69% drop. So I guess that one was kind of front loaded with Key and
I also
Peele.
Think they timed that pretty poorly. I think
with everything else coming out,
with I mean, you put anything against a Marvel movie at this point, there's no.
It's
like,
true.
Don't do it.
I think they were hoping to thread the needle,
maybe,
and like get in right before the.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Yeah.
So they're at $15 million now domestic on, I believe, a $15 million budget, and I'm sure that will be a video rental type.
Absolutely.
I mean, it'll make some money, but it's unfortunate. I mean, it is a funny movie, so if it could have came out at a little slower time,
do you think
beginning of April or something?
We've talked about it before with like Austin Powers. Or Anchorman that found like a second life on DVD.
Yeah.
Given the day of like digital sales, like do you think that like you can find a second life on DVD at that point?
I think potentially.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder if like the days of the video rental, like because that day is kind of dead, do you think that like, that's gonna affect this like Keanu finding a second life on digital?
I think digital is a big thing though. I mean,
I'm not
I know
it's
not stores,
but like do you think it's that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's either going to be digital, like, rental, or is somebody going to step up, like, a Netflix or a Prime and say, you know, like, grab it sooner?
I see.
And sort of claim ownership over it.
Okay.
Versus, like, the traditional route of, like, broadcast cable.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Know, I was like an HBO. I think we might have a chance of seeing it on Prime or Netflix
sooner rather than
and they'll push it.
Right.
This one might be on VOD real soon with that drop because it's going to be nowhere to be found in the next couple.
I mean, when we were watching the movie, it was like,
love that movie.
I know, but it wasn't going to be sticking around the show.
Right.
It was very long.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. Number seven, Zootopia, made another $2.7 million. That's a 49% drop, $327.6 million domestic, another over $600 million foreign. So that is up to around $950 million worldwide. So made a few bucks on that one.
Just a couple.
Number eight, Barbershop, The Next Cut, $2.1 million, a 65% drop in week four. So that's at $48 million domestic now. Number nine, The Boss, still hanging around, $1.6 million. That one took a 63%. Drop $58.9 million. That one had a $29 million budget, $10 million overseas. So it's at around $70 million. So it's made its money back, but not doing the usual Melissa McCarthy gangbust.
What's your number 10 film?
I know that frustrated me because I wanted to get Joe because we are at number 10 now, and I was going to disappoint you for another week.
It's out.
The number 10 movie of the week is Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
With $1.1 million, a 77% drop from that abysmal.
That means Warner should take note. When the Ratchet and Clank cutscene movie makes more money than your tentpole action superhero movie. Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's in week seven.
No, but still, Ratchet and Clank at $1.1 million just took a 77% drop from its opening weekend.
And Batman took a 74%. From its previous weekend. That's, I mean, that, made, even in week seven, that's a huge drop.
It made $1 million.
And made $1 million. And to put that in perspective, that's only $1 million more than the movie, than my movie, and I didn't even make a movie.
That's true. when did Batman open? Was it a month ago?
It was 7 weeks
ago.
It's
pretty much, unless you go to a huge...
It's gone.
Googleplex, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's in 1,500 theaters.
It's doing so bad. I don't even know if it's Googleplex. It's probably like a Bingplex.
Do they still have that?
Wait, it's not. Do you think it's even on Google Plusplex?
It's like an Ask Jeeves Plex. Okay.
Do they still have dollar theaters? It's probably there.
Yeah. What's that?
At the dollar theaters, if those things still are around.
Yeah, there's still a handful. Yeah, there's. Yeah. I think every major market seems to have one.
We've got one
out in St. Charles.
Yeah. So Ratchet and Clank has made about $7 million. $10 million on a who knows what budget. I guess they just took it out of their video game budget. And yes,
it's our free money. Might as well.
And our bonus number 11 is now sitting at $327 million domestic. It has made 550 some odd million foreign. So it's at about $875 million-ish. So it may not break the $900 million mark.
That's
surprising. I thought it would have at least broken $900 million with the foreign.
If Captain America maybe had like 1 week out, maybe. But now Captain America is going to dominate until the end of May.
Well, you're going to have word of mouth.
Yeah, and then you're going to have the X-Men, and it's just
it's gone. Yeah, I mean,
it at domestic?
Domestic was like under 350.
So that's less than Deadpool.
Yes.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
For Batman, three Superman.
And Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman's in it, but
your Trinity. No, and the first time you've ever seen her.
Crazy.
To think about
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
Like, if you could have put a bet on that at the beginning of the year, you could have cleaned up.
Yeah.
You guys ever see the viral video of the guy shoveling the snow and he like falls for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That's what every time we talk about this movie, I feel like we're just watching that guy just keep he's going.
It's so good.
It just keeps falling.
That's a great analogy.
It's the longest fumble in the world.
In the 90s, early 90s, Jackie Mason had a sitcom called Chicken Soup on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah. It was never not in the top 10, and they canceled it, even though it was a hit, because it was on after immediately following Roseanne, and they were like, you should be a bigger hit.
Oh.
Yeah. And Batman versus Superman is Jackie Mason.
I believe that's very
superhero
true.
Superhero films.
Yep.
They were just like, we know it's a hit, but it wasn't really a hit. You're not kidding anyone.
It's made, I'm not profit, but it has brought in $900 million.
But it's the most begrudging money ever.
That should be a $2 billion movie.
But it's crazy to go, this movie made $900 million and it's a failure. That's just, it's crazy.
I had people walk by my desk of work and a guy he held off on for 6 weeks. And he came by this week. He goes, so I saw it. Yeah. And that's all he could say. I walked away shaking his head.
There are people on Twitter. So I follow certain people. And they are, it's like, stop apologizing for it. Yeah. Just own the fact that they're like, you know, you people like Affleck is angry and he's did that and it's all rumors. And I was like, Affleck should be angry.
Yeah.
Like, he should be livid.
He was coming off as Daredevil.
But
he was coming off as Daredevil. He said he would never do it again.
Yes.
Then he gets Batman, and we see it, and he looks awesome, and it's like, he is Batman, and then you're in this movie.
Then he starts shooting people, and you're like, this is Batman?
That's weird.
I think Snyder sold him a bill of goods, and on paper, he was like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And then he gets into it. He signs the contract, and he realizes he's effed.
And he doesn't have any creative control over that.
And I think that's why he has creative control over now, because I think he was like, I'm going to walk away from your
he's
franchise.
On the line,
and you're going to have to find a new Batman, and you're going to have to deal with that press. Yeah. So,
I think right now Warner Brothers is going, maybe we should have had him do the Spirit.
Right. So, was Gone Baby Gone?
What did Will Eisner ever do to you?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Snyder, not Affleck.
Were the three of those Warner movies?
Yeah.
All three of them?
He's WB.
So he's WB's guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He won them an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he's got some pull around there.
Yeah.
And, so we'll see what happens with it. I'm excited about that. More Affleck control, an Oscar-winning filmmaker and, screenwriter.
From the sounds of it, I think they're doing Hush. He's like,
really?
He's like, we're going to put as many villains in it as we can, and that's what Hush is. Hush is like, each issue is Batman fighting a different villain to get to the main bad guy.
Well, great. Now we just have to sit through Suicide Squad. That's fantastic.
I got to tell you, that looks kind of fun.
That
movie too soon.
I don't know. I think they edited it together to look like fun. You know what I mean?
I agree.
They took all the fun scenes and put it in the trailer.
Yes.
I hope that's not the case. If it's a bait and switch,
Man.
Because I was totally against
Warner Brothers hasn't led us wrong thus far.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, sad day.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find him.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Matt Reedy, and I really don't have anything to plug, so...
He's like, I don't want you to follow me on Twitter.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, don't forget to check out that Unreal Radio podcast, episode 23, where I get to get all nerdy on Captain America.
All right, and this is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you'd like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join our League of Show Sharers just by clicking share on the most recent episode. And we're also available on iTunes, in case you didn't know that. I don't know where you would have discovered the show at, but there's other things out there. We're on Google now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So there's other things.
Right.
There's other means. But if you are on the iTunes, feel free to stop by, rate and review us. It helps us tremendously. We say it every week because it's just that important. So if you've done it already, we appreciate it. And you should set up a fake email address and do it again.
What? We didn't say that.
What? That's crazy talk. That would be chicanery. And we would want no part of it. So
no part of chicanery.
No part of it. So so coming up on the next episode, we will talk about Captain America Civil War. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.